You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ry, the movie guy, and this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we sing Happy Birthday.
Oh, you're going to sing?
No, I'm really not, but Happy Birthday, Matt.
Thank you.
Yesterday was Matt Kay's birthday.
Yes, 34 years old. I'll kill all the rumors right away.
You sound much more knowledgeable than 34, Matt.
Well, thank you, Ry.
Yeah.
But I look much younger, right?
You do. You look stunningly good for your age. You're in such great shape.
I know. I really am. I'm an Adonis.
So Matt got to pick the topic.
Charlie Sheen
actually said, let's do birthday movies.
Yeah, what a mistake that was.
This is a challenging list. I worked on this for a long time to come up with my top five favorite birthday movies.
Yeah, there's not too many to pick from.
No.
So you'd
be stunned.
This is the way I saw it. Like, when I went online to do the research... Usually there's a bunch of lists of whatever
topic. To give you ideas, right. Get you going, yeah.
There are no birthday lists. So we're blazing new ground here on Cinema Jaw.
I agree, Matt. So listen to our top five favorite birthday movies, because I think I got a great list that I compiled here.
I think mine is worthy.
Awesome. So we're going to blow out the candles with our birthday list. And in addition to that, you got out and saw...
I saw Moneyball.
Right, and I gave my review a couple weeks, so we're going to get a second opinion here, see if we agree or disagree on that. Besides that, we have a new segment we call...
Cinema War.
In which we'll be looking at comparing the fall movie season against the summer movie season. Should be pretty interesting.
Should be.
And then we're also going to reach out to the front bar and get a trivia victim for Matt Kay to take on.
Yep, and they're going down, whoever they are. I think I'm ahead, right?
You are 16-15 on the year. You have a winning record.
I'm doing good.
Yep, it's all downhill from there.
We'll see.
And should be noted, we are recording this podcast after we had just got some news.
A little over an hour ago, we just found out that Steve Jobs passed away at 56 years old.
And you thought it would be very nice to say some kind words since we do a podcast here.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. We would not be sitting here doing this thing which we hold so near and dear to our hearts, Cinema Jaw, had it not been for the innovations of Steve Jobs. I really believe he changed, obviously he changed the world. But I believe we would not be here, you and me, in this room in Reno, had it not been for Steve Jobs. So all podcasters take a moment to remember this guy and what he did.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Thank you, yeah.
A tragic loss for all of society and humanity.
Yeah, it's a great American. I mean, like, they don't come along that often. Einstein, well, I guess he wasn't an American. He was at the end, yeah. Einstein, P.T. Barnum, people like that. I mean, Steve Jobs is up there. He's a titan among men. He will be sorely missed. Sorely missed.
Definitely, Matt. But we do have to go on with our show, our podcast here, Cinema Jaw.
Yeah, you know, what better way to honor Steve than to celebrate life and birthdays? I think he would get a kick out of that. I think
yes.
He would like that. So
I agree. Besides all of that we talked on, we also have Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore, and that's where we're getting started this week, Matt. A brand new movie opening up called The Big Year.
Okay.
Three avid bird watchers compete to spot the rarest birds in North America at the prestigious annual event. The three bird watchers are played by Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson.
Okay, good.
And the film is directed by David Frankel, who his last two efforts were Marley and Me and The Devil Wears Prada. Matt, interested or ignore on The Big Year?
I'm interested in just about anything Steve Martin does. Yeah, I'm in. For sure. And the rest of the cast sounds pretty good, too.
I agree. You know, you hear something about bird watchers. Right away you start to think this could be, you know...
Really lame.
Yeah, really, really lame. Then you hear Steve Martin, it picks you up a little bit. And then he... complimented well with Jack Black, Owen Wilson. I think he'll be hilarious.
I could do without Owen Wilson. Jack Black I like. Owen Wilson, not so much.
I like Owen Wilson, especially when he's in the right role. And I think him as a bird watcher is just fantastic. I think he's going to play it perfectly.
I agree. We'll see.
Yeah.
Not too many high hopes for Owen Wilson, but the Martin and Black combo. Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be probably the best bird watcher movie of all time.
Since
birds.
That's a slam dunk right there.
Yeah.
Oh.
I probably will not run out to the theater and see it, but I will rent it on DVD. We got two interesteds here from Cinema Jaw.
Fantastic birthday scene in the movie Birds.
There is.
I don't know if you were planning to go there.
Not on my list.
Not on my list either.
No. In addition to The Big Year, there's two other remakes opening up. I don't have synopsises for them. Just want to get your opinion on them since we both know the originals pretty well.
Sure.
There is the remake of The Thing coming out also. Interested or ignoring The Thing, Matt?
I saw the trailer. You know, I'll probably see how bad they mess it up, so I guess interested. I don't have high hopes.
I'm actually going to join you on slightly interested also because it could use an updated version. Not that the thing is bad, but
Rye.
I think that this is a type of film that could actually be enhanced a little bit with a newer version. I don't see it being absolutely terrible, and it has this Joel Edgerton in it who was just in The Fighter, and I'm interested to see what he does in there. I'm giving it an interested.
I'm going to take the audio that you just said and mix it with what you said when we were talking about remakes and how they should never do them.
Don't do that.
I will. I'll put it out on YouTube.
The other remake coming out is a little film called Footloose. Matt, interested or ignore on the remake of Footloose?
I am interested and for the same reasons.
Oh.
I want to see how badly
they
mess
up.
It's at this point, I know the movie's going to suck. It's like a train wreck. You can't look away. I need to go and to know how terrible this movie is.
I saw this actor who's playing the lead dancing all over Jay Leno's set last night. It just made me sick. I'm giving this one an ignore.
Did he pirouette?
No, he did not. But a lot of like legs flipping everywhere. This thing just looks ridiculous.
You know, not to go off topic, but I do want to say that I'm getting over a cold, so if you hear me coughing or my voice sounds weird, that's why.
Yeah.
Reno coughs all the time. He's just a heavy smoker.
Sure does. Wash it down with a little PBR.
It helps. Yeah, Halls and PBR actually taste well together.
Yeah, and like Matt said, he got out to the theater and he saw Moneyball. We're taking a second look at Moneyball, and this second look is sponsored by Evil Squirrel Comics.
Yep, and they are located at 6928 North Glenwood. And Rye, they're the best comic book shop in all of Chicago.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. If you go to their Facebook store and you like them on Facebook, you get 10% off your order.
That's right. And they also have, you know, for our fans who are in other parts of the country or the world, you can go to evilsquirrelcomics.com and get your digital comics as well, you know?
Absolutely.
It's
so
fantastic.
Definitely check them out at www.evilsquirrelcomics.com.
That's right. And we thank them for their support of Cinema Jaw.
So I saw Moneyball a couple weeks ago, gave my review. I loved the film. I really liked it. I gave it 3.5 Jaws, a grade of a B+. Thought Brad Pitt was phenomenal in there. Jonah Hill was great. And also Philip Seymour Hoffman. I noted that I could have even used a little bit more of Philip Seymour Hoffman. My concern was, being a baseball fan, I was not sure if this movie was going to translate well to non-baseball fans. I guess that was my one complaint about it. It was so embedded into the baseball world, the stats, the players, knowing the history of what players were on the Oakland A's at the time, Billy Beane, the whole backstory,
right,
and loving that. That was my take on it. What did you think, Matt?
I believe the term for that is actually inside baseball. You know, when something is very, very, you know, much about one thing, it's an inside kind of thing. So, you know, no pun intended. What did I think? I gave it 3 Jaws, middle of the road. Well, a little better than middle of the road. This is a good movie. I really love Pitt, and Philip Seymour Hoffman is brilliant. I agree, underused. I could have watched him the whole 2 hours. Pitt, phenomenal. Jonah Hill as well. And I'm a baseball fan too, but I honestly think that this would appeal to more than just pure baseball fans.
Mm-hmm.
There's something here for everybody.
And I was going to ask you, as far as Brad Pitt's character goes, I was saying when I gave the review that this is more of a stripped-down character than we've seen Brad Pitt play in a lot of his roles. This was really a down-to-earth Pitt, don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. He even looked kind of crappy.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what they did. No makeup, obviously, or something. But, yeah, it was a really subdued character, subtle. You believe, because Pitt, obviously, he's got the nice build or whatever. You believe him as a sports guy. Great casting. Yeah, Pitt was fantastic.
Yeah, and Jonah Hill, we've seen him in a lot of sort of like teen comedies, Get Him to the Greek, and also, obviously, Superbad. He was phenomenal in Cyrus, which was a small independent film where he sort of played like a creepy silent kid, yet still funny opposite John C. Reilly. And here again, I think fantastic is sort of
a quiet kind of guy.
Right. Serious, quiet, yet I think because of his presence on screen, it still brings a lot of humor.
I agree, yeah. Jonah Hill doesn't have to do much to be funny. He just walks into a room, and that's funny. I mean, just a look from that guy can be funny. But it wasn't like that snide humor. It fit the tone of the movie. Yeah, and there were some great beats of humor in it. I agree. Jonah Hill was great.
All right, so I gave it 3.5 Jaws, and you gave it?
I gave it 3.
All right, so we got pretty good reviews there for Moneyball.
Yeah, this is a good movie. Go see it.
Yeah, take a swing at that one.
For sure.
All right, so gets us over to our top 5 favorite movies. There's no birthday celebrated, I guess, in Moneyball.
No.
Actually, there may be. Brad Pitt's daughter. I think he gets her a guitar in there.
Oh, you're right.
So there is a birthday in Moneyball now that I think about it.
There is. And she sings him a song.
But we are a day after Matt's birthday here at Cinema Jaw. He picks birthday movies, and it was a difficult list to come up with, but we did our best. And I'm proud of my top 5, so I'm going to get a start right away.
Go for it.
And at number 5, I have a film, Matt, that actually jumps out because of the title. Came out in 2001. It stars Nicole Kidman, and the name of the movie is called Birthday Girl.
Never seen it.
Now, Nicole Kidman plays Nadia, a Russian mail order bride. She marries this guy, John, and things seem good. She speaks no English, just Russian, and their sex life is good, so he's happy. That is until her two cousins show up and celebrate her birthday. Of course, there is a scam going on here with her cousins and her all involved. But what makes this movie above average is that the story does not stop there. It really only gets started at that point. Good twists start popping up at the end that you didn't see coming. And do characters actually have more emotion for each other than you really thought?
I've never seen it. It does sound very interesting here.
And this is one where you don't picture Nicole Kidman playing a Russian mail order bride.
No, actually I do.
Really?
Every night. Twice on Sundays.
Well, I didn't think she could pull it off in the character in the movie, but she really did.
Oh, she can pull it off.
Oh, jeez. This guy's on a roll today, folks.
Sorry.
But yeah, I really recommend giving this one a spin. It was a very small budgeted movie, and especially for having a star like Nicole Kidman in there. I think it went under a lot of radars, but Ride the Movie Guy recommends it. Birthday Girl.
Definitely went under my radar, but it's very much on it now, so
yeah.
I'll check it out for sure.
That was my number 5. What do you got, Matt?
Well, you know, I like to start it off heavy, you know, and let's just get to the lion in the room here. Happy Birthday to Me, the 80s slasher cult classic.
I have not seen this, Matt. You better be talking about a good movie here.
I am, yeah. This came out in 1981, and like I said, it's a cult classic, so amongst slasher fans especially, and if I'm not mistaken, I have to go back and listen to it again, but I think John LaFlamboy of Zombie Army Productions may have mentioned this on his comedy horror list, because it's very over the top. There's some really creative and brutal murders in it, of course. And actually, at the end, there's a pretty decent twist. I mean, it's not Sixth Sense or anything, but for a slasher flick, this is definitely one of the best twist endings in all of slasher movies.
Really?
Yeah, for
sure.
That's
saying a lot.
Nah, not saying all that much.
I think it is.
Well, in any event, Happy Birthday to Me is a romp. And I remember when I was a kid, always seeing the case in the movie store, you know, like going to your local video store to rent something. And the guy's mouth on the case of the movie is open, and somebody's shoving a shish kebab into his mouth, complete with the onions and steak on the shish kebab. It's great.
That's a movie I want to rent right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome pick at number 5, Matt. Swings us into our number 4s. And at number 4, I have a film that came out in 2008. I don't know why. It seems like over the last year, people don't like it nearly as much as they did when it first came out. I'm speaking of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
This is a birthday movie?
I qualify it as a birthday movie, and here's why. Because of the obvious odd situation of him aging backwards.
Okay.
So it's the idea that obviously the story is he's aging backwards. He sort of falls in love with Cate Blanchett's character right in the middle when she's obviously aging forward. David Fincher directed this film, and the film might not have worked perfectly on all levels, Matt, but where it did work for me is the haunting idea of aging backwards and not being able to grow old with the person that you love. They sort of touched on that in The Green Mile, if you can remember. There was that curse on the old man who was played by Tom Hanks. Not giving anything away here. And at the end, it was really Tom Hanks, the old guy who couldn't die. And he was old, and he was talking about how he's been alive for a long time. And it's really just sort of haunting because he's seen all his friends die. And
in Green Mile?
Yes. And the mouse in the Green Mile is still alive as well. Because
Mr. Bojangles?
Mr. Bojangles is still alive, as is Tom Hanks' character.
Was that the name of the mouse?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
absolutely.
I think that's it.
And I remember thinking of this element of, wow, that would really be terrible. Like, you always think, like, I want to live forever, or, you know, oh, aging backwards would be so cool in Benjamin Button. But really, I think it's just a sort of a haunting idea.
You know, I totally disagree. I always thought that was such a crock. Like in vampire movies when they're like, I don't want to be a vampire. You know what? I would love to be a vampire. You know, you don't want to age backwards? I will. I'll be first in line. That sounds freaking great. As far as watching everybody else around you, you know, shuffle off the mortal coil, probably can do that anyway. So why not? At least I'll be around to write their memoirs.
I think it would be a terrible idea. I don't know where you know, just the idea of people that you're, when you really think about it, your wife.
Yeah.
I mean, your kid. Imagine having a kid and you not being able to grow older than him. That's terrible.
I want to live, Rye. I want to live forever.
Spoken like a true birthday guy right there.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So my number four was The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
All right. I guess that brings us to my number four here. I got the 1959 classic Disney film Sleeping Beauty. And again, this is the second week in a row we've talked about Sleeping Beauty. Last week we did Villains, and I talked about Maleficent.
Right.
I'm on a Sleeping Beauty kick here. My wife loves this film, so we watch it a lot. I like it, too. It's the tale of Aurora, one of the original Disney princesses, who is put to sleep by Maleficent on her 16th birthday.
Sure.
And we all know the story of Sleeping Beauty, so I don't have to get into it
great
too much.
Great pick. I believe it's now out on Blu-ray as well. So
just came out.
It did. So definitely jaw heads at home. Pick it up. I love what they're doing with the Disney's out on Blu-ray. I have Beauty and the Beast on Blu-ray, and I watched
nice.
It. It's just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Yeah. Good pick. Swings us into our number threes. And at number three, I have a film. I'd be stunned if this is not on your list, Matt. Came out in 1997. Stars Michael Douglas and Sean Penn. I'm speaking of The Game.
Not on my list.
This is a great birthday movie. Douglas plays a wealthy banker, Nicholas, who is given a card by his brother, Conrad, that's played by Sean Penn, for his 48th birthday to visit a place called Consumer Recreation Services. From there, some strange things start happening in his life. Things people are out to get him. At this point, is also directed by David Fincher. I go back-to-back with David Fincher movies.
Love you some Fincher.
And the great thing is it's one of these that just messes with your mind. You keep thinking, is this a game? Is it not a game? What the hell's going on here? And it takes you all the way to the end, and I think it's a pretty good payoff. Overall, going into it, the premise seems like it's sort of bizarre. Like, oh, it's pretty basic.
Yeah.
I hate movies that are right at you, thrown at you to think, I'm just messing with your head. And there's no other point to it. But this one works all the way down to the end. I don't mind my head being messed with, and if it didn't totally make sense at all times. But The Game works for me.
You know, I got to tell you, I've never seen it.
Whoa, check out The Game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You will really like it, especially you. You'll give it four jaws.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I'll take that challenge. I'm going to watch it.
That was my number three.
All right. At number three, I have City Slickers.
Nice.
Billy Crystal, feeling his midlife crisis coming on, needs to get out to the sticks and get back to nature. Have a little cowboy adventure. I think he gets talked into it by his buddies.
Sure does.
I just love City Slickers. I'm a sucker for it.
So am I. I've talked about it before on this podcast. Big fan. One of my favorite Billy Crystal movies of all time.
Oh, it's fantastic. The whole cast is great.
Sure is.
Jack Palance in there is Curly.
Yeah, Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher. Maybe not.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. Great, great, great movie, though.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So that was
sequel,
your number
three. Sequel, not so much.
No, I agree. Swings us into our number twos. And at number two, Matt, I have a very depressing film, but it is a masterpiece nonetheless. Came out in 2002. I am speaking of the film The Hours.
You stumped me again, Ryan.
All right. No, Nicole, listen to this cast, Matt, and tell me if this doesn't even intrigue you. Some people are going to say it's a chick flick, but it is not. Nicole Kidman, Julianne Moore, Meryl Streep, John C. Reilly, Ed Harris, Claire Danes.
I'm intrigued.
All right. Three storylines. Here's the premise. Three storylines. Number one, in 1923, author Virginia Woolf begins to write her book, Mrs. Dalloway, in her home in London. In 1951, storyline number two sees like a troubled Los Angeles housewife, Laura, played by Julianne Moore. She's reading Mrs. Dalloway. And then story number three, in 2001, New Yorker, played by Meryl Streep, is like the embodiment of the title character, Mrs. Dalloway. It's a very, very depressing story. But nonetheless, like I said, a minor masterpiece. Two of the storylines actually cross together masterfully at one point. The birthday, where this comes in as a birthday I speak of, takes place in that middle storyline. Julianne Moore's character is baking a cake for her husband. She's so depressed. Her husband is John C. Reilly. It's his birthday, and that whole entire storyline takes place on his birthday. It's a one-day type setting. She decides that she just can't take it anymore. She has a young son. She's in this suburban life she hates, and she decides to commit suicide. Virginia Woolf obviously went on to commit suicide. Ed Harris in this movie, everything about this movie, he has AIDS. It's an extremely dark film. I know a lot of people, they look at it. Nicole Kidman won the Oscar. This is what she won the Oscar for. But I tell you what, a lot of people see the cover. They see Julianne Moore.
John C. Reilly.
And they think, oh, what is this? But give it a shot.
This is Boogie Nights 2, man.
I'm telling you, The Hours is spectacular. It's awesome, awesome movie. My number two.
All right. Next time I feel like crying in my beer.
Yes.
Crying in my PBR. All right, at number two, probably one of the quintessential childhood birthday movies of all time.
Oh, boy.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. The boy turns 10 years old, finds out he's a freaking wizard.
How cool is that?
Not only is he a wizard, but he's going to wizarding school. And it's you know, Harry Potter works on so many levels. It's almost a revenge movie, you know, because he's been forced into subjugation by these terrible aunt and uncle and cousin, and his life has been, let's just say it, Rye, his life has been shit up to this point.
No doubt about it. And he finds out that he's a wizard, and things turn around for him pretty quick.
Yeah, what a birthday, man. What a birthday present, you know? I remember in the film, he's drawing the little birthday cake in the dust on the floor where he's been forced to sleep, and just then Hagrid kicks the freaking door open. And it's all roses from there on out. Well,
it is.
Until he finds out about, you know, Voldemort and all
that. Yeah, until about movie number four.
Yeah, yeah. But up till then, he had a great time.
Sure did. I haven't seen the movie in a long time, that first one.
Oh, really? No, I watch it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I own it, so.
Do you own all the Harry Potters? I have not committed to owning all the Harry Potters.
I own about four of them.
Okay.
So I need to do some catching up.
Yeah, I own my two favorites. I own number three and number four in the series, and that's it.
I own one, two, three, and then I don't own four. I think I own five, so I've skipped one there.
Oh, that's such a Matt move right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good pick, though.
Thanks.
Harry Potter.
Oh, all yeah. Right. Got to mention it.
Swings us into our number ones, and for me, this was just an absolute layup of a number one. I don't know how it can't be on everybody's number one list of birthday movies when you're speaking of them. 1984, Molly Ringwald, Michael Anthony Hall, directed by John Hughes. Give me some love on 16 Candles.
Yeah, you gotta go to 16 Candles.
I say it's the most classic birthday movie of all time, hands down. I got three words for you, Matt. Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
Long Duck Dong.
Oh, yeah. Long Duck Dong's awesome.
I wish I had a gong sound effect right there on the sound machine.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Long Duck Dong. I remember watching this movie when I was a little kid. I didn't probably get the joke, but it's a classic, Rye.
It sure is. I can put this on, you know, once every 6 months, once every year, and just still laugh hysterically at some of the lines, the characters. I love her grandparents when they're oh, touching yeah. her boobies. I mean, the whole thing is hysterical.
Anthony Michael Hall.
He is awesome.
Oh, he's just great. This is really the movie that made his career.
No doubt about it. This is the best Anthony Michael Hall, I think, hands down. Better than The Breakfast Club, bar none.
Better than his stint as Russ in Lampoon's Vacation movies.
Ooh.
National, you know?
Yeah, I'd even give it over that, believe
really?
It or not. Yeah.
Weird Science? Better than Weird Science?
Boy, this guy had a hell of a filmography.
Yeah. Breakfast Club, you're saying better?
I say better than Breakfast Club,
all
for
right,
sure.
All right. But you know, when you pull the tail on the elephant, it's supposed to light up, right?
But I'll tell you this. You got John Cusack in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Such a small role for John Cusack.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was kind of a bit player back then.
I agree. And that's sort of fun to see, that it was just such a small role, bit player. You got Molly Ringwald. And, boy, I wish she would have went on to do a whole lot more.
I do, too. Yeah. Molly Ringwald, you know, Ally Sheedy we got a little bit more out of.
Right.
Where the hell has Molly Ringwald been?
I agree. Well, we always will have 16 Candles, Matt.
That's true. We will always have 16 Candles.
So that was not your number one pick, I take it.
No, it was not my number one pick.
I can't even believe you have something better than 16 Candles at number one.
I have something better than 16 Candles at number one.
Oh, let me get the buzzer ready.
when you turn 30 in this dystopian future, you are faced with death, pretty much. But one man chose to run. Logan. Logan's Run.
Give you the ring for that one. Because you love this movie. I still don't think I've seen it.
You've never seen Logan's Run?
No, and you've talked about this numerous times on the podcast.
Oh, dude. It's amazing. You gotta see Logan's Run, dude.
You gotta see The Hours.
It is it's classic sci-fi. Right down to, from the guns they shoot, which don't look like anything I've ever seen before. Everything about it, the set, the art design, the sets, it's great. And there's classic like sci-fi TNA in it. It's a great movie. What year did it come out? 1976. I mean, come on. Which is actually just 1 year before I was born. So
interesting.
Yeah. Let's see who the director. It's based on the novel of the same name, directed by Michael Anderson. And you got to see this movie, dude.
I have it on my queue. It's way down there. I'll bump it up for you, Matt.
Bump it up.
As a birthday gift to you, I'm going to bump up Logan's Run high up on my queue.
Michael York's masterpiece, masterful performance as Logan. So,
now, like we had said, Matt, this was a tough list to come up with. So if the Jawheads are listening to this and we missed something, pull up Twitter and give us a tweet at CinemaJaw and let us know if we missed a birthday movie.
Or even better yet, how about your favorite birthday scene in movies? And I have one. You got one, Rye?
Yes. For me, Karate Kid, when Mr. Miyagi gives Daniel a car for his birthday. Cars that he waxed on, and he picks the one he just can't believe in. You have that genuine feel that this is the first guy that male character anyways in Daniel's life, because he's fatherless. We don't know exactly what happened to his dad, that really cared for Daniel. And he gets in that car and he loves Miyagi so much, and Miyagi really cares for Daniel. Really adds so much heart to the film, that scene between Daniel and Mr. Miyagi and Karate's Kid.
Banzai!
Oh, I love it. Banzai!
That is a great scene, man. My favorite birthday scene from the film, from movies, is definitely the birthday party in The Birds. Do you remember this?
I do.
They're all outside having a picnic.
Out by the pool, I think, or somewhere.
By the ocean.
Oh, that's where it is. Yeah.
It's outside. They're having a picnic. It might be the bay, but whatever. It's still the ocean. And just then, all the birds come and attack the little kids. Chaos ensues. And it's just great watching little kids get attacked by birds.
Sure is.
Nothing makes me happier.
A birthday party ruined by birds.
I love Hitchcock. I love The Birds. That's probably my favorite birthday party. Just that one little kid with the bird on the head, which the effects kind of don't hold up. It's a little bit comical at this point. I love it. I'm there every time.
That's great. So that was our favorite birthday movies. Like we said, tweet us if we missed one. When we come back, we got a new segment we call
Cinema War.
Plus, Matt's going to take on someone from the front of the bar in trivia. He has a winning record and Hollywood headlines and a whole lot more.
Cool.
We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. In the film 16 Candles, Samantha says that Carolyn must have flunked out of 9 grades because of her mature figure for a high school student. In actuality, Haviland Morris, the actress who played Carolyn, was 25 years old during filming. Michael Schoefling, Jake Ryan, was 24. And that is your Cinema Jaw movie fact.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw. Matt reached out to the front of the bar, brought in a contestant for him to play trivia against.
A victim.
Yes, he likes to say victim. Mason, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Mason, where are you from here?
I'm from Wilmot, Illinois.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah, not too far away.
Right before you came on Cinema Jaw, you were saying that you write for a website?
Yes, I do, for todayssickbrand.com.
What is it?
Todayssickbrand.com.
Todayssickbrand.com?
Yes.
Cool, so what kind of a website is it?
It's a website that focuses on streetwear fashion, music, and entertainment.
Sounds like something I would actually check out.
Yeah, and the way this guy's dressed, I would definitely go there. You know what he's talking about.
That's right.
Thank you.
So, Mason, you got an important duty first and foremost. The first thing you're doing is judging a big battle between me and Matt Kay on a segment we like to call
Cinema War.
Reno is going to fill us in here. Reno, what's today's topic?
Today's Cinema War topic, which movie season is better, the summer movie season or the fall movie season? Matt, you'll be fighting for the summer. Rye, you'll be fighting for the fall. Let the cinema war begin.
Ah, the fall movie season. A season when we say Hanks and not Vin Diesel. A time when we say Scorsese and not Michael Bay. This is the movie season when Hollywood gets serious. A time when actors come out to play, directors come out to paint their masterpieces, and moviegoers go out not only to be entertained, Matt, but also be moved by something they saw.
This isn't even a contest. Everybody knows about the summer movie season. Most people don't even know there is a fall movie season.
Oh, that's BS, Matt. A simple fact. Because studios are vying for Best Picture nominations, they hold their best movies for the end of the year so that they will be fresh in everybody's mind. So, of course, the fall movie season is superior.
I completely disagree. Let me say this. Popcorn pops in the heat, Rye, not the crisp autumn air. You'd have us all snacking on pumpkin seeds and drinking cider from the concession stand?
Oh, you know what, Matt? The problem with the summer movie season is for every one blockbuster worth seeing, there are 10 to 15 junkers just there to steal money from your pocket. The fall movie season is the opposite. Many times there are so many great small films released, all trying to become the fall darling, that you literally can't go wrong seeing any movie.
Summer's the most exciting time for new movies. There are two words closely related to movie going: summer blockbuster. Okay? I've never heard of a fall blockbuster.
Ooh. At the end of the year, Matt, the movies most people end up talking about are from the fall movie season. From a king's stuttering problem, to a female boxer who is paralyzed, to some gay cowboys who won't quit each other, onto a psychological ballet film, the fall movie season is where it's at.
You know, I seem to remember that King with a Stuttering Problem stealing the Oscar from a much more deserving film, and I'll name that here in my list. Listen, and I love movies all year round, but if there's one thing as American as apple pie, it's the great movies we get all summer long. Independence Day, Back to the Future, The Dark Knight, which is the one I was talking about, WALL-E, Gremlins. I could go on all freaking day. What came out last fall? The Notebook?
The Social Network? Come on, Matt. We're at a gridlock. Once again, we go to blows here, Matt. We throw it over to Mason. Mason, you're our judge. You got to determine who won this bout. Do you agree with Matt, or do you agree with me, Ryan the Movie Guy?
I would agree with fall, because the best movies are produced in the fall with the most substance because of the Oscar-winning seasons. They want to make the good movies in the fall, so they have time to produce it. They have time to get it out there, tell everyone who needs to see it, who votes on the Oscars and all of that.
Wonderful. I like the way this guy thinks.
Mason, you're not an American, my man.
Thank you, Mason. It was a nice win.
I got to bring you out for a steak and a PBR.
Mason, your second quest here is taking Matt on in trivia. This is a weekly tradition here on Cinema Jaw. For the Jawheads at home, Matt K on the year now is 16 wins, 15 losses.
Wow.
All right.
It's pretty close
pretty
to even,
close,
yeah.
He's coming off
neck
a three-game win streak. Three weeks in a row wins. Mason, we need a loss here, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to put together a 20-win streak just like the A's did in Moneyball.
No chance. No chance. I tell you what, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals. And also, it should be noted that our wonderful producer, Steve Reno, will help you out with a clue if you get stuck on one, lifeline. Just yell out, "Rescue me, Reno." He'll help you out.
Okay.
Here's the topic for today's trivia. In honor of Steve Martin's new movie, The Big Year, opening up in theaters, we have Steve Martin movie trivia.
Ooh.
Mason, you want to go first, or do you want Matt to go first?
I'm
going
to let Matt fall for this
one. Right, Matt goes first.
Mason, I think I got an advantage just in years here.
Probably.
All right, question number one over to Matt. In 1999, Martin plays a film producer in this comedy opposite Eddie Murphy.
L.A. Story?
That is wrong. You have a chance for a steal right off the bat, Mason. In 1999, Steve Martin played a film producer in a comedy opposite Eddie Murphy. You do have a lifeline if you want to use it.
I will take the lifeline.
if he doesn't know, I got it.
Question number one over to Reno. Martin, Eddie Murphy in a comedy from 1999.
And your clue is, pull my finger.
Your clue is, pull my finger.
If I had just given that a little thought, I would have had it.
Any guess, Mason?
Eddie Murphy, Steve Martin. You know, I have no clue.
Bowfinger.
It is Bowfinger, but no points awarded here. No points awarded.
It's way, way past my prime.
All right. Question number two is over to Mason. In 1987's Roxanne, Steve Martin plays the guy with the big nose, but what actress plays Roxanne?
No more lifelines, by the way.
It's a good thing I use that, huh? Well, this is a great question that I do not know the answer to.
Matt, you got a chance for a steal?
I think it was Daryl Hannah.
Nice. 1-0 Matt K. 1-0 Matt K.
This question, it's a good movie. You should watch it.
Okay. This question is over to Matt. In Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, what city is Steve Martin's character trying to get home to for Thanksgiving?
Chicago.
2-0 It was finally one Mason knew.
For the record, I knew that one.
2-0 Matt. This question is over to Mason. In 1983, Steve Martin played a doctor in a film that had the tagline, "Danger, health warning, watching this movie may cause severe brain damage." Whew. Brain damage. Whew. Any guess?
No, I've got brain damage just thinking about this.
Nicely done.
I'm going to go with a remake of Dr. Strangelove.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Read it one more time.
All right. In 1983, Steve Martin played a doctor in the film that had the tagline, "Danger,
the
health
man
warning."
With two brains.
3-0 Matt K.
Really good movie.
This question's over to Matt. Steve Martin teamed up with Danny Glover, Kevin Kline, and Mary Louise Parker in this drama about an unlikely friendship. Steve Martin, Danny Glover, Kevin Kline, Mary Louise Parker.
Rescue Me, Reno.
Whoa, Rescue Me, Reno. It's question number five.
Hey, that's a lifeline, right?
Yeah, that's a lifeline.
And your clue is crater.
Crater?
Your clue is crater.
Oh, my God, dude. Holes? I have no idea.
Maybe a grand crater? You got a chance for a steal, Mason. In Arizona?
I have no clue. I'm sorry.
We were looking for Grand Canyon.
Oh.
Grand Canyon's not really a crater, though.
Well, it's a decent clue.
More of a chasm.
Hey, blame Reno.
An abyss, perhaps? I mean,
I believe it is still 3-0, Matt K. This question's over to Mason. In 2009's It's Complicated, Steve Martin found himself competing against this actor for Meryl Streep's love. It was Meryl Streep, Steve Martin, and who?
Alec Baldwin.
Good job.
He's on the board. 3-1 3-1 I smell a comeback. Matt, this What's question's up? Over to you. What actress teamed up with Steve Martin in this 2003 comedy, Bringing Down the House?
What actress was in Bringing Down the House?
Yep.
2003?
Yes. Steve Martin and who in Bringing Down the House?
Oh, it was Queen Latifah.
4-1 Matt K. Just about wrapped it up here because this is the last clue of the game. Over to Mason. What is Steve Martin's character's name in My Blue Valentine? It's a Reno favorite.
Silent Hint, Reno, maybe?
Yeah, give him one more clue, Reno. Question number eight. Steve Martin's character name in My Blue Valentine.
And your clue is my cousin
Vinny. Ooh, smart.
Well done.
Just needed a first name there,
well
huh?
Well done. But I tell you what. Matt, another win underneath your belt. That's
yes.
4 in a row.
Good job, Mason.
Thank you.
Hey, there was a tiebreaker, Mason.
Okay.
What's the better Steve Martin comedy? Three Amigos or Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
Three Amigos, hands down.
Yeah, that's correct.
We'd give him that one. It's a tough call, though.
Well, no.
I actually know that one. It's a good one.
The real jawbreaker was this. Age of Steve Martin. What would you say, Matt?
He's getting on. 64.
What would you say, Mason?
No joke, I was going to say 64.
I think that's probably
You're
spot
both
on.
Right! He's actually 66 years old. You guys are close?
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah. Well, Mason, you gave it a good try here. Valiant effort, I was going to say.
Thank you. It was a little above my age belt, but I went for it. And
what are you saying, dude? You saying I'm old?
Not really. I'm just saying you're more, I don't know, refined, I guess.
Sure. Like a fine wine, Mason.
Mason, you're on Twitter. Where can we follow you on Twitter?
At Mad Chicago, M-A-D-D Chicago.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good handle, dude.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thanks for coming on Cinema Jaw.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was a good time.
Boy, that Mason. What a great guy.
Yeah, that was good.
So you got another win underneath your belt. You got to be feeling good at this point. Four wins in a row, Matt.
Four in a row, baby. I'm going for five.
I don't see that happening.
I do.
Hey, before we get
20
to
in a row.
Before we get to some Hollywood headlines, a movie I caught, I was really hoping to push it into the Rise Hidden Gem category for documentaries, but fell a little short, but it's still a quality film. The 11th Hour.
I like The 11th Hour.
Have you seen this film?
No, but it's even better than The 10th Hour, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, and five times better than The 3rd Hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost.
I just can't wait for The 12th Hour.
I tell you what, Matt, The 11th Hour is a documentary. It's narrated by Leonardo DiCaprio. He is very green, as you may know.
Yes.
Big backer of the environment. And this documentary, what I really appreciated about it most was that it tried to really relate humans still as the circle of life, if you will, going back to The Lion King, that we're still part of nature. Even though we're looking at this as capitalism, all the markets, somehow they talk about how we just sort of got disjointed and almost forgot that we're sort of part of this entire cycle of life that goes on all around
the planet,
the world,
yeah.
On the planet as a whole, and that we're part of that cycle. And I think that was a sort of a different take on it than some of them that we've seen, like The Inconvenient Truth, where they're always just attacking industries and so on and so forth. This one really tried to connect us back to the planet and why it's so important to come up with green energy, watch our carbon footprint, because there's a stat that they say from the history of the world, from what they can tell, 99.99 of all species that have ever lived on the Earth have gone extinct.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just statistics. Sooner or later, you're gonna.
And when you think about it, it's staggering. You think, like, well, exactly, at some point we're gonna go extinct. And the sad point, I guess, for humans, it's at our own hands.
Yeah, you know, but here's the thing. This is a very strange topic, and I have a lot of wildly varying opinions on it. Overall, I'll say this. Definitely think that human beings have an extreme impact on today's climate. Greenhouse, all that stuff. I'm a firm believer in climate change and all that. That being said, I think there's some arrogance to us, even on the environmentalist side, where we think that, you know, we have this, I say kind of, without giving my political viewpoint, species go extinct all the time. Who are we to stop that? Now, who are we to cause that, but who are we to stop that? You know, it's just like, just be, try to do your best, and, I'm going to go see this movie. I want to see what Leo has to say. But I think if you just do your best out there.
I believe it is on Netflix Instant.
Okay.
So
I'll
check
let you
out.
Know for sure.
Ride the Movie Guys given The 11th Hour, 3 Jaws, a grade of like a B-.
Yeah, I apologize for my political rant just then, Rye.
Hey, it's okay, Matt.
It's my birthday. I can get away with it.
Yeah, for sure. We do have some Hollywood headlines. I'll get us started right off the bat.
We got some huge ones.
Yes. Robert Downey Jr. is developing a Perry Mason movie for the big screen.
Really?
He is.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. That's got to be the stupidest thing I've heard all day.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
How do you feel about them turning this
Columbo like next? I mean, what the hell?
I agree.
It's like The Golden
Murder,
Girls.
She Wrote.
Yeah, it's just like daytime television. Turn it into movies.
I don't even like the idea that they've turned Sherlock Holmes into sort of a mini franchise going here with Sherlock Holmes 2 coming out.
Yeah.
I thought one was enough with Robert Downey Jr.
I know. It sort of bastardizes the whole thing, if that's a word.
Yeah. This Perry Mason, I think, is going to be a big-time flop.
Well, we'll wait and see, man. It could be a huge hit, so we might be eating crow on that one. All right, I got a huge one for you. Ready for this, Rye?
I am.
Netflix.
I'm anxious to hear what you're saying. Netflix what?
Netflix 10 most rented list of all time.
Holy.
This is huge.
This is.
All right. Reminds us of the long tail power of Oscar.
Ooh, a lot of Oscar picks on here, I bet.
Indeed. All right.
Which supports my fall movie season.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. Number 10.
All right.
Starts off good. No Country for Old Men.
Solid pick. Solid pick at number 10.
Absolutely.
And you got to take into consideration, too, that Netflix doesn't have tons of choices on their streaming, so...
Sure.
You might have some odd choices on there.
Agreed. Just based on these 10 choices, I'm surprised at the order.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I'm anxious to hear.
Big time.
Okay.
Okay, number 9, Iron Man.
Wow.
Above... No Country for Old Men. Okay, Iron Man's a big action.
I agree. It's worthy of being on the top 10. I'm not stunned with this pick.
Not stunned either. Okay, now we're still going in the good direction here. Number 8, Inception.
Nice.
Yeah.
But could be higher, but
could
all right.
Higher.
I'll take it at 8.
Yeah, maybe there's some good movies to come. We'll see. Number 7, Sherlock Holmes, speaking of Robert Downey Jr.
Definitely the worst you've named so far.
But... Robert Downey's got 2 in the top 10.
Oh, boy. I'm nervous now.
I mean, that's huge for Robert Downey Jr.,
Don't tell
right?
me he's going to have a third.
All right. Number 6, The Departed. That's...
Hey, really solid.
Yeah, really solid. Yeah, I mean, that would be a worthy number 1.
Yeah, I agree. These so far, overall, outside of Sherlock Holmes, pretty good pick for the top 10. I'm glad to see the mass public is renting these films.
Would agree. It gets worse. Ready? Number 5. This one's not terrible. The Hurt Locker. Oscar-winning film. Best
solid.
Picture. Yeah.
There you go. Solid.
Number 4. Now, above The Hurt Locker and all those other ones I mentioned, including Inception and No Country for Old Men, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Ooh.
A stinker, Rye.
Yeah. I just mentioned how it was on my birthday list, but for the reasons of the whole aging backwards. A lot of people don't like this film. I do not see why, in God's name, it would be above Inception, No Country for Old Men, Iron Man. Come on.
It's the 4th most rented film of all time on Netflix.
All right.
3, The Bucket List.
No.
Yes.
That is terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
This is the Netflix fan base has got the Bucket List at number 3.
Yeah, I can't believe that, dude.
I have never seen The Bucket List.
I've never seen The Bucket List
And
either.
It is not on my bucket list to do either.
Nicely done. 2, Crash.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Another Oscar winner. I absolutely can't bash it.
I'm on the fence on number 1. It is definitely not better than No Country for Old Men. Definitely not better than Inception. And maybe not better than Iron Man. Definitely not better than The Departed. The Blind Side.
Oh! You're kidding me.
No. Number 1 most rented film on Netflix of all time. The Blind Side.
With the dreaded Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, really? Come on. Really?
Wow.
Folks, I mean, that's a good movie. It did get a lot of attention. But is it better than No Country for Old Men?
That
is it better
crazy.
Than Iron Man?
No, it's not better than any of those movies, including the bucket list on the list.
Well, it's better than Bucket List, Rye.
All
Come
right.
on.
Possibly.
All
but
right.
that's about it. Boy, that is a sad fact right there.
That's All a good right. Hollywood headline right there, man.
Moving on to our other Hollywood headlines. Get a load of this one. Director Werner Herzog will play the villain in Tom Cruise's Jack Reacher film entitled One Shot. Now, Werner Herzog brought us Grizzly Man, and he also did Cave of Forgotten Dreams earlier this year. Usually a big-time director, he's stepping into the acting role to play Tom Cruise's villain.
Could be good with a name like, what's his name?
Werner Herzog.
Yeah, with a name like that, he's just, you know, he should just play himself.
Werner. Jim Tierney is a very big fan of Werner. This guy's
of course
got
he
a
is.
Humongous filmography out there. I love his work, and I saw Cave of Forgotten Dreams for the jawheads at home who have not seen it. I saw it in 3D. It was pretty spectacular. When it comes out on DVD, definitely, definitely give that one a spin.
Sounds kind of trippy.
It's pretty cool.
Is it trippy?
It is.
Okay. All right, I got another one. This one, another humongous announcement. Are you ready for this?
I'm not ready.
Twitter was alive today. Arrested Development comeback. Movie and TV return on the way. In addition to a big screen feature, fans can expect 9 to 10 more TV episodes, which will concentrate on one character in each episode. What?
I apologize. We're going to have to edit that out. Huge fan of Arrested Development.
As you should be.
They've been talking about the movie for a long time. The show went off the air after 3 seasons and sort of became a cult favorite along the way. They've been talking about movie. The stars, it rejuvenated Jason Bateman's career. It
yeah.
gave us Will Arnett. It gave us Michael Cera. And
David Cross.
Who
is he's done a lot, Mr. Show, and... But definitely brought him to mainstream.
Yeah, Ron Howard narrated this thing. If for some reason, people listening to this have not given Arrested Development a shot. I have it as really my favorite
television show?
Yeah, a sitcom at least of all time. I love Seinfeld. I was like a diehard Seinfeld guy, but after going through the three seasons of Arrested Development, I really do love this series.
Yeah, it's you know what? It doesn't have to be better or worse than Seinfeld. They can just exist in different spheres. So
it was the writing, I think, in Arrested Development that set it so apart. I mean, constant one-liners, jokes on top of jokes, running jokes. It just never ended with them. So I'm so glad to see that they are getting the backing to do a movie. Give the fans another 10 episodes. Do like a special package DVD for everybody.
Well, it's going to come back.
Yeah.
It's going to come back completely. And by the way, Arrested Development, Netflix streaming. You can
watch
the whole thing.
All three seasons?
Yes, sir.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. That's a great Hollywood headline. I was glad to hear.
Yeah, that's a reason to get Netflix in and of itself. I wish they were paying us.
That Arrested Development's headline was not a huge mistake.
No, not at all.
So it brings us to the end of another good Cinema Jaw, Matt.
As always, man. Yeah. This was fantastic.
So once again, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
And we want to thank our sponsors, Evil Squirrel Comics.
And the New 400 Theater.
Yeah, and the best thing about the New 400, Matt.
You know, my humble opinion, best thing about them is the Guinnesses and other beers and wines and cocktails you can get at their full service bar.
Full service bar?
Yeah, I just had a few last night at Moneyball, so.
Check out what's playing at the New 400 at www.thenew400.com.
And we thank them for their support.
Yeah, also PBR, Evil Squirrel Comics, like we said, and also
Steve Reno Mrazek,
the best producer in the biz. Indeed. So until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies.
See ya.